This is Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Call Paul and John Zangari now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio with Paul and John Zangari on your station for talking business, AM 790.
Good morning. Welcome to Drive Through Radio. It's car care for you right here on AM 790. He just said AM 790. My name is Paul Zangari. That little fellow over there setting up. It's my little brother, John.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing okay. And Brett Ferruccio, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You know what we do here every Saturday? We sit around and talk about cars. We only do it for 1 hour, so if you have any sort of an automotive concern or question or whatever, the time to pick up the phone is now. The numbers are 437-5000 and 888-345-0790. Coming up on the show, John's going to give us his impressions of a big Infiniti SUV. It's a QX, which, 50? I think it's the QX50.
60. I don't know why.
It's the big QX.
No, it's the 60.
It is the 60.
But I don't know why. They keep bringing these numbers up and up and up.
It does get confusing with Infinitis because they and their parent company, Nissan, do tend to shuffle the names every now and then. Now, the only thing that I can think of that's a bit consistent is that the big Infiniti SUV has always been the QX something. At least there's some consistency there. The first one got nicknamed the Q4.
Well, it was
QX4.
QX4.
Yeah. But they kept the QX, but then they made the number something that was less likely to turn the X into a buy. But Q4, you know, what the heck, that was easy. But at any rate, we'll be checking that vehicle out before the show is over. And now, here is
Santa baby, slip the sable under the tree for me.
They don't make Mercurys anymore.
Being an awful good girl, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Little baby, an outer space convertible too.
This is how you know it's not Earth a Kit, because the original one was a 54 convertible, but that got a little dated anyway. Is this Madonna?
It could be. Yeah. I think it is.
Anyway, it's that time of year. It is, as Andy Williams would say.
There's no sables on the lot.
The holiday season. No, haven't seen one in a while. No. I was going to say, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and also, we might be a little late with Happy Hanukkah.
We are.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's over.
Yeah, but we hope it was a good one for you. Anyway, we are here to talk about cars, as I said, and it's the holiday season, and I wanted to mention gifts for car owners.
Yes.
You know, one thing that's really handy, if you know someone who's got a new car or a recent one, and especially if it's an SUV, but it doesn't have to be, all-weather mats are a good thing. Now, a lot of times you'll see online something like WeatherTech, and they do make a great mat, but you know when Christmas is coming, don't you?
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah. So I don't know if you could necessarily get them in time, but if you go to the dealer of the make that their car is, you could probably get them through their parts department in a matter of a couple of days. And these all-weather mats, by the way, I do recommend going with ones that are specific for vehicles. Especially when you get to the driver's seat. You know how there were all these reports in the news? Some of them were kind of enhanced, shall we say, cars taking off on their own. Some of the problem was linked to mats getting mixed up with the pedals.
Well, that was one with a Toyota Prius and maybe another model. And, you know, I feel bad for the car companies sometimes because people do things they shouldn't do.
And they blame it on the car.
Yeah.
But at any rate.
So get the right mats.
Yeah. And the thing that I'm mentioning is that if they are either by, you know, someone that's really good at it or from the car manufacturer, you know, sold through the car manufacturer's service departments, if your car has those pegs in the floor that are there to keep the factory mats from moving.
Pegs or hooks or,
eyes.
To put the hook in.
Yeah, then the manufacturer-approved mat for the driver's position will have something to work with the peg or the hook or whatever is there. You know, we'll have the right retention system. And those mats are good. I mean, we're talking about mats that are impervious to water getting through them, and they tend to have edges that will retain things so that when you come into the car with a foot full of slush, and it lands on the mat. The mat's going to hold it. At some point, you should take the mat and dump the water out.
But really?
Yeah. But it'll keep what's on your foot.
Oh, how about if you like walking in puddles?
Well, then it's just a tiny bit and it'll evaporate. But when you get that foot full of slush, you know, it's there on your boot, and you can't really kick it all off before you get in the car. You're going to have a...
Well, that's the idea of these weather, all-weather mats.
Exactly. So that's a worthwhile gift.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. I've looked at a lot of used cars, and, you know, with high mileage, and you see where the driver has worn out the driver's side rug because the car didn't have a mat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just makes the car look so much crappier.
Mm-hmm.
And probably several hundred dollars worth of bad look.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where if they put a mat in from day one and ruined the mat and threw it away.
Oh, you mean like replace $60 worth of floor mats instead of having to pull the whole carpet out of the car to make it look good.
Or sell the car for less.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that. So that's a worthwhile addition. If someone on your list has a new car, that's one thing to add. Now, what about if the car isn't brand new, and especially if it's an SUV?
You mean a present for that person?
Yeah, yeah. Backup cameras aren't a bad idea.
Yeah, they stop you from running over things, hopefully.
Well, that's the idea.
And now, some people it doesn't matter, but yes, it should help.
There's a couple of different ways to go. Now, I don't know, because I haven't tried one of these firsthand, but, you know, in scouting out what's out there, there are the ones for the not-too-ept do-it-yourselfers.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Where they consist of the camera is on a small frame that mounts over the license plate. So it uses the license plate mounting screws in the rear of the car. And now and it's wireless so that it sends the signal to the receiving screen that you mount somewhere inside the car.
But
yes.
If it's wireless, does it need batteries?
Well, there's
not included, of course, because this is a Christmas present.
Right. Now, some of them look like they do because there's much more
License plate frame.
Much more frame there than is absolutely necessary. But then that makes you wonder, well, how does it know when to bother sending a signal? You know, how is it going to know that you're in reverse? So when they say wireless, again, because I haven't gotten my hands on one of these firsthand, it may be that it hooks up to the backup lights. You actually run a wire to the backup lights.
That would be the smart thing for the manufacturer to do, because that's when you want it.
Right, and could also power the camera. So it turns it on and powers it.
Right, yeah.
At the other end, you know, for the truly lazy among us, you plug it into the cigarette lighter and you've got a little screen sitting somewhere inside the car. But there, you know, that would be the absolute lazy person's version of it. But there are other versions of backup cameras, and the kind that I've been looking into and seems to make the most sense to me is the kind where it's wired. You know, I don't always trust that the signal is going to be there. I also think if I have a receiver and somebody near me has a wireless backup camera, I might see what his or her camera's looking at.
That'd be interesting.
Wouldn't it, though? We're talking close, you know, like 60 feet, you know, no more than that.
No, I was going to say...
maybe 45.
32 feet and a fraction of an inch, 10 meters away.
Well,
that's how far a Bluetooth signal goes.
Right, but I don't know. It could be Bluetooth. But here's the reason why I was saying maybe 45 feet. But you're right. If it's Bluetooth, that would be about it.
I think it's 33, the advertising.
Roughly. Yeah. The thing is that I can see putting the wireless one on the back of a trailer. You know, if you're towing a trailer, it'd be great to have a camera back there.
You know what a 30-foot camper trailer looks like?
I know.
Long.
I know. But, you know, when you get one of these dually pickups that's got a long bed and four doors, and there's a trailer behind that, and it's a long trailer, that's quite a distance.
Horse trailer.
Yeah.
You know, six horses,
you know,
20,000 pounds worth.
So I can't really tell you what the range is, but those are available, and, you know, you don't have to go mail order on one of those or online. You can find them locally.
Oh,
you know, but the type that I like is the one with the wire. And, you know, I've always done it the hard way, but it winds up looking professional.
Yeah,
where you would drill a hole, say, in the tailgate and mount the camera in the hole. There's a wire in there that goes up. Now, if you put it in the tailgate, of course, you have to go up to where the hinges are to get the wire out. Mm-hmm. And there's usually going to be some kind of guide for the original wires that are there, because almost every car now that has a tailgate, if it doesn't have a powered tailgate, still has something in there, possibly the third brake light, all right, where you're going to have some wires coming from the body of the car into the tailgate, mm-hmm. or the liftgate, whatever you want to call it. So you would take your wire and you'd get it up into the car there. Now, you're taking the wire from the camera and getting it all the way to a monitor in the front of the car.
Yeah.
You know what strikes me as the simplest way to do it, or should be the simplest way to do it, used to be before
under
they...
Under the rug?
No, before they started putting side curtain airbags in the headliners.
Oh, the headliner.
Just loosen the headliner a little bit, drop it and fish it over the top, especially if... The question of the monitor comes up.
Uh-huh.
All right. Where are you going to put the monitor? Now, in some cars, you can buy a monitor that actually is a replacement for the rear view mirror. And there's a little picture of what's there. But the problem you have is now a lot of cars have their, their on-call services integrated into the rear view mirror.
Right.
And if you have that, a garage door opener.
Console.
Yep. Some of them have the speaker for their hands-free telephone built into the rearview mirror. So you have any of those, you're not going to replace that mirror for, under a lot of money with one that gives you the picture. So that means you have a separate monitor, unless your car has a screen in it that is compatible with one of these systems. But connecting that is not something that's feasible for the average do-it-yourselfer.
Right.
And, of course, they're not all compatible. So you know what struck me as a great place to put it? The sunglasses holder. I never use sunglasses.
True,
So if I had one of those, I'd just have it right there, right above the rearview mirror. It's a convenient place to look. And the little monitors, the 4.3-inch, which are big enough, will fit up there. So then if you've got the wire and the headliner, isn't that just perfect?
Yeah, I wonder if that's big enough to hold your cell phone. Some cell phones, maybe not.
Yeah, it depends on the phone.
It holds your cell phone when you're using it as a GPS.
It, with some cars it would.
Yeah, you know what I did
phones.
The other day? I decided that I didn't want to use the one that was in the test drive, so I put my cell phone in front of the LCD display.
Oh, just placed it right there. Yeah. But that's another, you mentioned another item that is a potential very handy Christmas gift. I'm going to throw
this. A cell phone?
No, I'm talking about a navigation system, a portable nav. Anyway, but I'm noticing the time. It's 8:18.
No, you didn't notice the time 3 minutes ago, though.
Yeah, well, the thing I wanted to mention is that I want to put this out, if anybody listening has any suggestions as to what would be a great car owner's gift.
You know what would be a great gifts for a car owner?
Hey, you're not a caller. Wait.
You know what would be great? Tickets for a car show.
Oh, that's not a bad idea either. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as Drive Through Radio continues. Our phone numbers, if you'd like to call in with gift ideas for car owners or any kind of a concern, 437-5000, 888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio continues here on AM 790. Welcome back. It's Drive Through Radio here on AM 790. I'm Paul Zangary. Little brother John is here, and Brett Ferruccio is making sure you can hear us. And we are here to talk about cars at 437-5000 and 888-345-0790. We got a call from Rico in Providence. Rico, you're on Drive Through Radio. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Glad to. What's up?
I have a gift idea for Christmas, too.
Yeah? Okay.
New York Yankee match.
Yankees win! The Yankees win!
That guy John Sterling used to work here in Providence, but anyway.
Yeah, I know, he's the best.
You know, that's kind of like in the movie Fever Pitch.
Yeah.
Where what's her name goes in the bathroom, finds that this big Red Sox fan that everything says Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox has a roll of Yankee toilet paper.
Oh.
And it took a while to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
She got it.
Well, anyway. Okay.
I was just wondering, when's the best time to trade in your car? Is it like after 3 or 4 years, or does it have to do with the mileage?
You know,
to get you know the best you can get for it.
I wish I could give you a solid answer on that.
I'm going to say the best time to trade in the car, and that's part of your question, is when it's worth the most. And high mileage, of course, has something to do with knocking down the price. And in some cases, for example, when my mother's car got totaled, it wasn't that new of a car, but it had such low mileage, I was shocked on how much she got for the car from the insurance company. Mm-hmm. So mileage has got a lot to do with it, even though today it isn't a big as deal as it used to be. Condition is got a lot to do with it.
I was just going to say, after you've washed it and cleaned it out.
That's always helpful.
Yep.
You know, and you can tell if you look at the trade-in values of a car or retail, owner-seller value of a car online at one of the things like KBB and any of the other websites, they'll give you, do different scenarios.
Well, they have different condition descriptions, and you can actually plug your car in and take a look at the different descriptions, see which is closest to yours and what it's worth, and then take a look at the difference between that and maybe the next step up and see if getting your car up to that step is something that's not going to be costly, like if it's a matter of buffing out some minor scratches. So that the car looks a little bit better. Now, that's something that wouldn't cost a lot to do. You may even be able to do it yourself, and you'd make your car worth a little bit more.
I have another question about the tire pressure.
Mm-hmm.
When you open your door on the side there, it has the placard. Tire pressure.
Yep.
Now, would you go with that particular number, even if it's the winter or summer?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It doesn't change as much. To the tire, the difference in temperature, the tires don't feel it quite the way we do, I guess is the simplest way to put it.
And I it says that's a cold tire pressure, and I would do it when it's cold. Even if it's like 30 or zero, I'd still do it when it's cold. Don't go for a long drive and then go check your tire pressure, because what's going to happen is you're going to get an inflated reading.
because what will happen is the tire warms from use. And that's what will affect the tire pressure.
Hey, it warms from being in the sun, too.
Yeah, true enough.
All right, guys. I appreciate your knowledge, and go Yankees.
Go somewhere. Go away, Yankees.
Thanks, Rico, I think. Anyway, let's see. I was getting back into some of the ideas for car Christmas gifts, and we'll continue with that in just a moment right here on Drive Through Radio on AM 790.
Oh, Paul, Mick's calling you again.
Oh, yeah, time for some useless information. This is the time of the show when we play Drive Through Trivia, and we ask you a question, the answer of which is ordinarily completely useless, except that you can win something neat. And since we've been talking about gifts, one gift that could be pretty handy is a family five-pack of tickets to...
the New England International Auto Show.
That's the one in Boston, right?
You say, Yeah. Boston Auto Show.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be January what?
14th through the 18th at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center.
The new place on Summer Street.
The EC. So
near the waterfront.
The BCEC.
That's easy for you to say.
That's the not so big easy.
Anyway.
And that's on what street?
Summer.
Summer, 2:15 to be exact.
Uh-huh, yep.
And the hours are...
on their website.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the easiest way.
And you can do either one of the names that we said to get to their website.
Yeah.
They both work.
Boston Auto Show or New England International Auto Show. Anyway, in order to get it, though, we do have to insert this one little step. You have to have the right answer to this question, and you have to be able to pick them up at the station during business hours.
Okay? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Friday...
we probably won't be...
open so late.
Yeah, well,
or at
we'll
all.
Be on the air. There'll be people in the building, but they won't be able to answer the door.
Right. They'd be on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. So, at any rate, the question has to do, actually, there's a very local connection here. There is a machinist named Henry Martin Leland, and Leland actually became an expert machinist working at Brown and Sharp in Providence, moved to the Detroit area, and wound up being the founder of two car companies. Both of them make luxury cars, both of them are still in business today. Name either of those companies. We have two sets of tickets and two answers. So be the first one to call Brett Ferruccio at 437-5000 or 888-345-0790 with either of those right answers. I mean, if both of the callers give the same one, that's going to be okay. And you can win those tickets. Again, you have to pick them up here at the station. So, John, we were looking at potential holiday gifts here. With not a lot of time left before the holiday gets here. Now, one thing that's quite cool is a handheld navigation system that you can take in the car. And you've used more of them than I have.
Yes, I have.
And what features would you recommend looking for in a handheld nav?
Oh, one of the things is, how do you input the address? Mm-hmm. I hate it when it starts off with the address the way we say it. Because then it shows to you and wastes your time.
Like if you say 1502 Wampanoag Trail, but the last state it was in was Kansas, it's going to
show you Wampanoag Trail
in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, or
yeah,
something. Yeah,
yeah. So I'd rather start off.
Start with the state.
State and then work your way
back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot better because you don't waste any time doing that. Mm-hmm. For people who don't always drive places, they walk places, make sure that it has a walking directions.
Oh, in other words, it
goes
might
up
not
one
make
way
you...
streets, you know.
Yeah, yeah, or you
doesn't
know where there's
take you across toll roads.
Yeah, or rather than driving around a field, you might be able to walk through it.
Yeah, you walk through a park that's got paths,
right.
Let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing. I really love real time or real lifetime traffic updates.
Okay.
That's, you know.
And map updates.
Yeah, that too, but let me explain what one means.
Yeah.
And that is, you're driving from here to Boston, and a thing pops up and says,
128
ain't
moving.
There's an accident before exit 7, and the backup is added 20 minutes to your ride. Would you like to find a faster route?
Mm-hmm.
And you say yes, and it reroutes you around the traffic. And some of the reroutes are unbelievable.
Like, uh-huh.
Who the heck could... You couldn't explain this to anybody.
You have to have a map database in your memory, and I'm talking computer memory, ones and zeros.
And they do a good job with this.
Uh-huh.
And so that, you know, lifetime traffic...
I remember
updates.
The first time you and I were going somewhere using a car that had a system built into
it. No,
that
I
had
think
that.
It was my TomTom.
Or maybe it was that one. But I do remember that we were headed north, and all of a sudden, we're going where?
We're going to UCM.
Yeah.
Of transportation.
Yeah, but
And we went by the Endicott Estate.
Yeah.
And yesterday, coming back from Boston, I went by the Endicott Estate.
Uh-huh.
You know, same thing, following the...
following what the directions gave you. Yeah.
And,
you mentioned one, TomTom. Garmin's another one.
And let's see, Garmin. Who's the Magellan, or is
Magellan,
that...
Yeah, Magellan, I believe.
It's either that, might be a model of one of the others.
Yeah.
And I bought a different brand for ourselves, and I decided I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I rather have...
You were happier with the TomTom.
Yeah, in
That's
fact,
your
I
review,
swapped
yeah.
with my daughter. She said, I don't care. I'll take the other one. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And she gave me the older TomTom, and I was still happy with the TomTom.
Okay.
And the other thing that you want is lifetime map updates.
Mm-hmm.
And mine, it's every quarter. I don't know how many streets they add it, every quarter, but, you know... It's every...
That can be handy.
You have to plug it into your computer to do that.
My favorite local example is the two times that the Albion Bridge was out. And I had a car. I'm sitting in Albion, and it's showing me not to bother taking a left to go to Cumberland. Go around. That bridge isn't available to you
right now. Yeah, that's good to know.
So that's a handy thing. So I just want to get ready to take a break here and point out to you, you know, you might be wondering, what are these guys doing talking on the radio about cars? What do they know? Okay. Well, all right. John has taught automotive technology for years and years and years. He's been one of the earliest certified master automotive techs in the state. I'm at the Tasca Automotive Group in Cranston selling cars. Be happy if you dropped in. I've also written about technical subjects for people who work on cars for a living and have for quite some time. Used to work on cars myself and joined the Society of Automotive Engineers in 1985. So we can help you out if you have a car question. When we come back, we're going to be hopping behind the wheel of something that might be a little pricey to put under the tree, and it won't fit anyway. but worth a look as Drive Through Radio continues here on AM 790.
Looking for you again.
Yeah, it's part two of drive-through trivia. I didn't think we were asking such a difficult question here.
I told you that. I knew the answer, of course.
Yeah. Henry Leland, I thought we kind of made it plain. We're going to provide a hint here, but there were hints built into the question. They are two car companies that are still in business
American.
Here in America. After all, he started them both in Detroit, in the luxury car business. So another hint. Okay, who made the Coupe de Ville? Who made this and the Seville? Who made the Continental and the Town Car? Okay,
what car company?
Yeah, what car company? What car company made the Continental and the Town Car? What company made the Coupe de Ville and the Seville? I'd go with modern names, but they're all alphabet soup. So anyway.
Well, you're right about that.
Yeah. So anyway, again, the numbers are 437-5000, 888-345-0790. If you're the first to get through to talk to Brett Ferruccio, give him the right answer, and you can come to the station during business hours to pick up your tickets. They will be yours. And now it's time to hop behind the wheel. Baby, you can drive my car. And this time around, John hopped behind the wheel of a rather big, not the biggest or the highest priced, Infiniti SUV, the QX60. What they've done, the Q or QX means an all-wheel drive Infiniti, and a lot of them now are QX. So there's QX50, there's 60, there's 70. I don't know, do they go all the way up to 80?
You know,
yeah, they do.
They do. They do. Huh?
So you're somewhere in the middle.
Wow. Is that something? Well, anyway, the QX60... has another number added to it. It's 3.5, and it's some more letters called AWD. I'm assuming that you could get this on a two-wheel drive, but no, I'm not betting on it.
Yeah.
Why would you? All right? Mm-hmm. You live in Florida and never leave.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, it has 3.5-liter V6, which has plenty of get-up-and-go because it's got 365 horsepower and 265 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
And 248 foot-pounds of torque, and that has the stealth continuously variable transmission in a big vehicle. This is not common in a vehicle this size.
Yep.
And I say stealth is because, for the most part, most of you won't realize that it is a CVT other than reading it on a label. Because Nissan, as much as you think that this is everybody should do this, is one of the few that does such a great job of making this not feel like it's slipping.
Yeah. You're talking specifically about the continuously variable tranny, which can feel kind of weird. By the way, there is another powertrain option available in the QX60. There is a hybrid version available, and unusually, it has a supercharged 2.5-liter 4.
With the hybrid?
In the QX60.
That's interesting.
So it's got a 4-cylinder that's teamed up with a 15-kilowatt electric motor.
Are you sure you're supposed to tell people, because Nissan had a hybrid Altima and didn't seem to want to tell anybody about it?
Well, I let the cat out of the bag. What can I say? By the way, Matt in Warwick has won some tickets. Congratulations, Matt.
And so that means there's one more...
one more five-pack left.
Okay, good. All right, and now when you were talking about the engine and drivetrain, when you open a hood, it seems to be a large hood with a large space with no empty space. There's boxes and things.
Oh, yeah, and it is amazing.
It's crowded, and the hood has power pistons that don't let the hood go up far enough, so all the mechanics, unless they're 5 foot, are going to be mad.
Going to be hitting their head.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and having to remove all those hat boxes to get at what they're going to work
on. Yeah,
and
I don't know why they did that, but the engine is east-west. It's not a north-south situation, so it's a front-wheel drive setup.
Right.
So when you're driving in, let's say, two-wheel drive in good weather, dry pavement, it's front-wheel drive. So then
that's
when
its
you
default.
And so when you need some help, the rear wheels kick in. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's how that kind of works.
And by the way, that's pretty much the norm.
All around.
That's pretty much that's very common these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. What
I'm driving at is there's nothing weird about it.
Right. But that's common when the engines are in
sideways.
Transversely.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Now, luxury car is what it is. It's an SUV, and it's SUV more than CUV, even mm-hmm. though it's the front-wheel drive setup, because it's a larger vehicle, mm-hmm. and you have to step up a little bit to get in. Hasn't been a problem. We've gotten in SUVs where you say, where's the grab handle?
Yeah.
I need it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't need it here. The steering wheel may be all you need at all or nothing mm-hmm. to get in,
mm-hmm.
and it has the heated... No, it's climate-controlled is their word. Climate-controlled leather seats. Now, that means it's heated and cooled.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's a knob, so it stays where you left it instead
nice.
Of you having to turn it on. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. it has a heated steering wheel that you have to turn on every time.
So are you talking about when you remote start the car?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
All right. So the heated steering wheel button is in a tough to get at place. You have to dip your head over to the side and look.
You got to know it's there.
Or try to fumble for it, and when you do, you could turn off the power to the rear lift gate, which is really annoying, as you know, because it's not only is it slow,
mm-hmm.
but when you try to open it up manually,
you're fighting the
you're lifting the car up is what it feels like
because you're fighting the mechanism that opens it automatically. Yeah.
Yeah. So the seat, once you get in the seat and it's warm, you can adjust it. Lumbar support, many different directions, and there's two memories for the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Looking in front of you, you have a tach and speedometer, and in the center is a information panel where you can cycle through all kinds of different information. One sometimes is good, sometimes it's bad information, like 16-point-something miles per gallon in 2 hours from Boston to Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
you were caught in traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, which is really funny because it was record time going there yesterday. I thought they closed Boston because nobody was going there in the morning.
So, yeah.
Coming back, they all left. I think they stayed overnight.
And decided to get in front of you.
Yeah. So you can get all that kind of information from the front. Over to the right is the stack, and it doesn't look too much like a stack, but slightly. You've got your big information screen, 8-inch optional, is that well, it comes with one of the tech packages.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 inches, and it's easy to read, and sometimes it feels my gloves, and other times it doesn't.
Okay.
And as one guy told me, they got gloves for that, and I said, I don't want to get gloves for that. Over there, which it has the GPS system and the radio and part of the heater. But down below the radio, way down, is the radio controls, which is too far down to be looking down in.
So you need to use the steering wheel controls and have things preset.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, you're distracted.
And the heat, one thing about the heat that I didn't care for is that at the end of the controls is where the adjustment is, but it's the radio. It's not where you would expect to find these things, you know, to adjust the mode up and down. So even though I knew it was there, we still had a hard time finding it.
Uh-huh.
The GPS system seems to work fine, except for it's one of these asks you the street number, house number first, and works the way I hate.
In other words, last thing is the state rather than first.
Yeah, and it won't let you do it when you start moving, which, of course, is nice. The handheld ones don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah.
What they don't know won't hurt you.
So, anyway, there's three sets of heat. There's left and right.
Yeah.
And rear, the center seat also has its own heated seats and heated heat control in the console. Has a quite large console. In fact, this console is so big, and it has two layers. It has a cabinet. If you open it up in the dock, you'll look in, see the tray, and think there's nothing in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't.
That's a false bottom.
Yeah, well, it's only 2 inches down, but it
fools
you in the dock.
Think, oh, there's no room in this thing.
Yeah.
So you're saying the big room is underneath.
Yeah, and it's quite large. I'm telling you, you know, you could put a lot of stuff in
it. Gallon of milk?
I didn't do that, but I say yes.
Okay. You don't have to pour it. You can actually leave it in the bottle.
Exactly, yeah. And it probably tastes better if you didn't pour it in.
Probably.
Your,
yeah, the car's neater that way.
Into the back. You want to get in the back from the back? Well, there's two-step process, one handle
You're talking the third row?
Yeah, the back, the way, not the way back, the almost way back.
Yeah, the third row.
You want to get in the third row. You could grab one handle to flip the seat back down, and if that's not enough for you, which it really isn't unless you kid like to climb on things, then you get another lever and slide the seat forward out of the way. Now it's out of the way. It doesn't flip up, it just down and forward.
Right.
And that makes for easy access into the back. And if you want a flat cargo floor, well, you just don't slide it forward. You just, and it's pretty flat. It's not perfectly flat.
As it goes a little uphill.
It does, and there's a little bit of a space.
Right.
But
between that and the
so
third row.
So you're not carrying sand back there. You know
what
I mean?
So the third row also goes down, and then they wind up making a steady ramp
with
some gaps.
You pull a little handle strap, and it flops down, and it's an electric motor to bring up. Third row.
Okay.
And there's a storage space in the way back underneath the panel with the, where we store the Bose subwoofer.
Okay.
And you say, ooh, where's the tire? If you look underneath the car,
there is a tire.
There is a full size mini spare, if that makes sense.
In other words, full diameter, but not full width.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. I hope they get that. We've been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rearward vision is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you put the headrest down, because they kind of like sometimes get in the way, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
The camera system, it has the neat camera system where it's got the
looks
drone,
like it's from above.
The drone following you, and you can use it to see what's on the side, both sides, in the back and in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Backup assist, parking assist, blind spot monitoring. I hate you because you put the brake on because I wanted to back through that bush. System. This one didn't just beep; it put the brake on.
It put the brake on.
Yeah, and it has all of those things. You can shut them off, but you know.
Can you override it just by hitting the gas harder?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
And you obliterated the bush. Now it's
no longer
there.
No, the bush is still there. Damn it! Bush isn't going anywhere fast. Kind of like
Kind of like
politics.
Bush. But, you know. Oh, well. Anyway.
And so, let's see. We took care of that. Ride, I didn't say anything about Ride. Ride's great. It's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that bothers me, the quiet over bumps. Now, this is a Nissan product. Nissan products has been doing two wrong things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put the gas door on the wrong side.
Yeah.
And they had no recirc on defrost in any way. They have rectified both those problems. Gas door is back where it belongs.
On the left.
On the driver's side. Mm-hmm. And you can now have recirc with the frost combo.
In other words, if there is a dead skunk in the middle of the road, we should get that record, Loudon Wainwright III, and use it incorporated in the show.
Yeah, it's out for the test drive.
Yeah. And so if there is a dead skunk in the middle of the road, you don't have to smell it if you need the defroster.
Yeah, and they have two knobs on the radio.
Which is also a good thing, so you can tune without having to peel an onion to get to the tuning menu. Okay. So all in all.
Yeah, all in all, a very nice car to drive. Just the biggest problem
is
paying for it and going by a big gas station.
Well, and the MSRP on the QX60 3.5 all-wheel drive is $43,800 base. And again, this had the deluxe touring package, the technology package, the premium package, and premium plus. And then they also have to charge you for delivery. Came to $56,090.
And the EPA comic book says on the highway you might get 26, in the city you may get 19, for a combo of possibly 22, but your mileage will vary like mine did. But when I was on the highway, it was doing really, really well.
Okay. You know, the interesting thing is there is that hybrid version.
The highway that didn't take 2 hours.
Yeah, well, the highway. Yeah, and in other words, you're talking a normal highway. There is a hybrid version of the QX60 available, but what's interesting is the, where did it go? Okay, the QX60. It went away. Here we go. Now we'll get it back up. The QX60 Hybrid's fuel economy is listed as 26 city, 28 highway. The gas engine, the one you had, is 21 city, 27 highway.
Mm-hmm.
So on the highway, might as well stick with the gas engine model.
Well, I could have used the hybrid.
The hybrid. Now, in the bumper-to-bumper stuff you had, that's where the hybrid would shine.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thing to point out, because when you're looking at MPG figures, we've got a couple minutes before the show wraps up, so talking about MPG figures, when you're looking at the mileage for a hybrid, you're going to see typically that its city mileage is better than its highway mileage. And it could leave you scratching your head, but you have to think in terms of what you're using to move the car along. Now, to back up, to drive forward, hybrids have both an internal combustion engine, typically a gasoline engine, and an electric motor. And each has its strengths, each has its weaknesses. The weakness of an internal combustion engine is that the engine itself has to be turning fairly quickly in order to build the momentum, to build the power that you need to break inertia to get the car rolling. The strength of it is that it's pretty darn fuel efficient and can keep a car going at steady highway cruising speeds where it doesn't require a whole lot of power to keep the car going. I think the figure we came up with was 8 horsepower would keep a Taurus on level ground doing 55. Not a lot of power. An electric motor's strength is the fact that it is producing its maximum torque, that is, turning force, anytime it's turning.
Right.
So in city traffic, you use the electric power to get the car rolling. You're not having the gasoline engine kick in very much, and thereby your MPG goes way, way up. And by the way, when you slow down, as you do in bumper-to-bumper traffic, anytime you would be braking, you're actually putting some power back into the batteries that you use to get you going. So unless you're in city traffic for a day and a half, you can go pretty far on the battery power that's ordinarily stored up in a hybrid car or an all-electric. Anyway, that's going to do it for Drive Through Radio for this week and also before Christmas. So we want to thank you for being with us. We hope the holidays are going to be great for you. And we thank you for joining us. Brett Ferruccio, thanks for getting us through the hour. Make sure you stick around because there's more great listening coming up right here on AM 790. Meanwhile, have you finished your shopping? Is the tree up?
Yeah.
How about the lights?
Oh, yep, the lights are up. Did some shopping.
You know what I got to do?
What?
The cards. Oh, haven't had a chance to start. Boy, it's been nuts. Anyway. Yeah, it's the holiday season. It'll drive you crazy. But it's also a whole lot of fun, too. And enjoy it, especially if you got kids, because that doesn't last forever.
No, it does not.
Meanwhile,
have a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. And check your mirrors and signal your turns. We'll see you in a week. Adios.